Good morning. Today's Daf Mamatzias Yotess. We are on Yud Ches Amud Beis, and we are finishing up from yesterday, obviously. Yesterday we saw Mishnah on Yud Ches Amud Aleph. And what happens when you find Gittin Hashem? Gittin Hashem Shechure Avadim Daitiki Matana. We'll come back to those three in just a moment, in just a minute, more than a minute. But in the meantime, however, what happens when you find a get on the floor? So you want to return it back to its owner. Who is its owner? So presumably the owner is a woman. In other words, that means that what happened was is that Rachmanis, she got a divorce, and Rachmanis, it's good, it's both. Anyway, so she got a divorce, and as a result of that, so the get was given to her, it was handed to her. So she's the owner of the get, presumably, and so you give it back to her, right? It's that simple. It's not that simple. So the Mishnah says, the Mishnah told us, and you look carefully back in the Mishnah on yesterday's daf, on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, and that is that our concern is that it was a drafted get, but it wasn't given yet, right? That's the Mishnah. So the concern would be is that what I picked up was a get the get was drafted, but in other words, reconciliation was made, and he never gave her the get. Whatever the case is, whatever the circumstances are, he never gave her the get. And as a result of that, so the Mishnah says that what we're not going to do is we're not going to return it to the woman. No. Now, the Gemara immediately picks up on the Mishnah, and the Gemara said, wait one second. So let's say the husband said tenu, meaning we went over to the husband, we presented the lost get, and we said, hey, can you give us some details over here? He's like, yeah. In other words, that belongs to my ex-wife. In other words, we wrote up the get, we drafted the get, and I gave it to her. So from the Mishnah, what it sounds like is, okay, so then return it to the woman. It's pretty straightforward. And what's there to be concerned about? What's the issue? Okay. Now, but meanwhile, yesterday, we spent an entire daf pointing out that it's not that simple. Meaning, as much as I just said over the Mishnah, I just said over the explanation, it's really not that simple because we had another Mishnah. And there are two ways to say it. The truth of the matter is that we have another Mishnah, we have a Braisa. Okay, and each one of the Amarayim chose which to ask from, but either way, we could say it over simply, and I'm just going to say it over the way Rabbah said it from yesterday's Gemara. And that is that we have a Mishnah in Gittin, and the Mishnah in Gittin makes it sound like even with consultation, we're not going to hand her back the get. Why? Because of a concern that maybe the get doesn't belong to her, maybe it belongs to somebody else. In other words, there are plenty of people that share names, and it could very well be that the names on the get do not represent and do not reflect the names of that man and that woman. Maybe they reflect the name of some other man and some other woman who happen to have shared the same name. So that's the Mishnah in Gittin, or at least that's that's the Diak in the Mishnah in Gittin. And so our Mishnah here and the Mishnah in Gittin seem to be at odds with one another. So to that, Rabbah was asked that question, and Rabbah says, okay, I'm going to be Miyashev. And that is that the Yishuv of Rabba is that the default position is like our Mishnah. You ask the husband, should I give it to her? Should we return the get to her? And the answer is yes, and go ahead and give it to her. The Mishnah Gittin is talking about where? A couple of factors. Number one is that Shayaros, Mitsuyan. In other words, it's a heavy populated area. It's a mall. It's an area. It's an intersection. It's a place where a lot of people are there. And it happens to be that people share that name. We know for a fact that there are people who share that name. And I say that name, by the way, I probably mean the name of the man and the name of the woman. In other words, right, we're worried about confusing identities, and I may be giving it to the wrong person, so there are two people identified in the get, him and her. So presumably what I mean is that we know for a fact that other people share the same name, both man and woman. Okay. So if I have those two factors, so then we're not going to return it. For now, fear that this belongs to somebody else, and so that was Rabbah's presentation of the Mishnah, and that's pretty much where we ended off yesterday. Now, again, by the way, what I am doing is that I skipped over. In other words, in our Chazara session, just simply reviewing, recapping. So Rabbi Zera said over more or less the same way. A little bit differently, but Rabbi Zera noted the stira between the Mishnah Gittin and the Braisa, not the Mishnah Gittin and our Mishnah here, but Metzia. Okay, go back to yesterday, see yesterday's stuff. Anyway, Bishlam Araba, we did that yesterday. So the Lamanda Amar, let's start from there, right? I think that's where we left off yesterday. Even better. Huh? Okay. Leman da Amar le Rebbe Zerub Makam Shai Sharis Mitzuris Havagav Shalom Huchzuku. Okay. Yeah. Mi ikaman da Amre. A little bit before. Bishlam Rabba. I'm going to go back. Okay, I'm sorry. If you want to find me, what's it called? On Yud Ches Amud Beis. Sorry. On Yud Ches Amud Beis, and we are a little bit more past the halfway point. Okay, Bishlama Rabba, Lo Amar Karebi Zera Masis Analima Le Lakshuye. This for sure we did yesterday. Al Rebi Zera, my time, Lo Amar Karabba. Okay, so why didn't Rabba say like Rebi Zera? So Rabba didn't say like Rebi Zera because Rabba posed a kasha from a Mishnah onto a Mishnah. Again, Mishnayos are on the top of the pyramid. In other words, Mishnayos are the most canonized Torah Shabbat Peh. And so therefore, if I have a steer between Mishnah and Mishnah, Alima, it's strong. But if I have a kasha between a Mishnah and a Braisa, right, you'll lose sleep over it, but not as much sleep. Okay. So I'm Lecha, and now, Ella Av Rebbe Zera, my time Alama Karabba. But why not the other way? Meaning, why didn't Rebbe Zera feel that the way Rabba presented it was correct, meaning asking a kasha from a Mishnah to Mishnah. Why didn't Rebbe Zera agree to that thought? Am lechami mi katini ha amar tenu nosnim vafilos man meruba. So Dilma ha amar tenu nosnim lolan kedekaimelan laalter. Yeah, and what Rebbe Zera will tell you is you're not reading our Mishnah correctly. You're not being medayik our Mishnah correctly. When our Mishnah says, well, maybe the letter was drafted, maybe the get was drafted, but it wasn't meant to be given over. Maybe the pshat in our Mishnah, the deek in our Mishnah is, yeah, and if I asked him, you'd return it, but that's only la'alter. In other words, only if it was lost and recovered within a day. Then I can assume that it was not only drafted, but it was also given as well. Laman d'amra Rebbe Zera, b'mak m'shar sharis mitzui, tzafa gav shalohuch, m'shnei yosef ben shimon, pligi d'rabba, b'maike m'flagi. Okay, now. Remember, according to Rabba, this part gets a little bit confusing, but it's not that bad. According to Rabba, in order for us not to return the get over to the woman, so there has to be two factors at play. Number one, busy intersection. Number two, we have to have two people with the same name. Now, Rebbe Zera may or may not agree with that. Go back to yesterday's daf. We went through it together, right? That was the top portion of this amud. So Rebbe Zera may or may not agree with that position. Good. So Leman Dama Rebbe Zera b'makusha sharis mitzuris afa gav shloch zuchnei Yosef ben Shimon upligi d'Rabba b'maika miflagi. So let's take the position now. Rebbe Zera argues with Rabba. Why do we want to take that position? Because we want to understand it. Meaning, if Rabba and Rebbe Zera agree with each other, good. So in other words, they're in agreement. But if there is this subtle difference between the two, what's that about? So the Gemara explains. Rabba Savadiktani called Maisa Bezdin Hareza Yachsa Dishtakech Bezdin Askinan, U Bezdin Kemakum Shasharis Mitsuyos, Vuhu Shuchsuku Lo Yachsir, Lo Huchsuku Yachsir. So the Rabba will tell you as follows. When our Mishnah said, or when our Mishnah will say, that called Maisa Bezdin Hareza Yachsir, that's a Mishnah coming up on Daf Chaf. We're going to see that Mishnah together. We've cited that Mishnah already numerous times. Anyway, the Mishnah says that Maisa Bezdin, so that you're going to return. So what does that mean? Meaning pshat in that Mishnah is that we found something in the Beis Din. Meaning not only was it a court order, not only was it a Beis Din document, but on top of that, it was also found in Beis Din. Well, Beis Din is popular or not popular? Beis Din is a very popular area, populated. And nowadays it's not, but okay. In other words, but back in the good old days, in other words, when all litigation went to Beis Din, so based in free flow of people going in and out. So under those circumstances, it comes out that we're going to return it. So in other words, we're going to return it despite the fact that it's a popular area. Yeah, based in Kamakun Sharsharis Mitsuyos and Vahush Uchsuku Lo Yachzer Lo Uchsuku Yachzer. And so the only thing that's going to inhibit us, that's going to prevent us from having to return it, is where I know that there were two people share the name, meaning. Because we found the document in Beis Din, we already know it's a populated area. Meaning, so that already is on the table. So the only factor left to basically toggle with, there's only one more variable that we can quote unquote play around with, and that is, are the people with the same name? If yes, don't return it. If no, then go ahead and return it. And Rabbi Zera Amalacha Mikatani called Maisa Beisdin Shinimtu Bebeisdin called Maisa Beisdin Yachzir Kitani. And Rabbi Zera will tell you, no, you're not understanding that Mishnah correctly. The Mishnah does not mean that it's a Maisa Beisdin that was found in Beisdin. It just simply means that it was a court document. Where did I find it? Outside. Ulolam Dishake Chabrai. I found it outside. Okay. So that brings us to the end of the back and forth. And that's funny because when I set up the Gemara that we just learned together, I said, now let's understand what they're arguing about. It's not really accurate. Meaning we don't have svaras over here. All we really have is how to learn a Mishnah Daf Chav. That's not nothing. That's still something. But in other words, but the Gemara is not really providing a svara in terms of what is behind the machlokas between Rabbi Zera and Rabba. Okay. So where are we right now? Let's pause. Let's just quickly recap. Okay. That was a lot of back and forth. Where are we? So you find a get. Do I return it to the woman? Yes or no? So our Mishnah says our concern is that it might be a drafted document, therefore don't return it. The deacon, our Mishnah is that, but if I find out that it wasn't just drafted, it was drafted and it was delivered, meaning we went to the husband and said, no, can you tell me about the get? He's like, yeah. In other words, I give it to my wife or ex-wife. Yeah, in other words, give it back to her. So under those circumstances, so the our Mishnah would tell us that go ahead and give it back to her. In other words, a chazara, a returning of the get to her. And what our Mishnah is not concerned about is maybe it belongs. Maybe this get belongs to another couple who happens to share the same name. Good. And so and that's basically the pshat that we've offered here in our Mishnah. The problem is the Mishnah Bab Metzia. The Mishnah Bab Metzia says I'm worried that maybe this get, it belongs to another couple who happen to share the same name. And what we've done up until now is we've said over two, well, the way I just presented it, we said over one mahalach. And that is so far the mahalach of Rabbah, which is our Mishnah is really the default position. And the Mishnah Gittin is talking about where it's a populated area and two people share the same name. Rabbi Yirmiyah Amar, we are now going to go over, did I just skip? Yes, I did. Rabbi Zera Amar Lacha. We're now going to go over answer number two. Answer number two of how to be Miyashi of the Mishnayos. Mi Ketani Kol Maisa Beisin Shinim Tzu Bebeisin Kol Maisa Beisin Yachzer Ketani. I didn't skip. Sorry. I lost my spot. That's what happened. Rabbi Yirmiya Amar. So we are up to now approach number two. Within approach number two, Kigon Deka Amri Edim Me'olam Lo Chasamnu Ela Get Echad Shal Yosef Ben Shimon. Rabbi Yirmiyah will tell you the following. In our Mishnah, and by the way, parenthetically also in the Brice as well, but in our Mishnah, where our Mishnah indicates that you do in fact return it, again, just to help you because it is confusing, our Mishnah says don't return it. But our Mishnah clearly tells us, don't return it because I'm worried it's a drafted document. Once I jump over that hurdle, so then you return it. So our Mishnah says that basically you return it is talking about where? We interviewed the Edom, and we said to the Edom, hey, we see that you signed on the get. The Edom are like, yeah, that's true. Did you sign on another get? Edom say no. In other words, and certainly not any other get that had these two names on it. Okay, now we know. We have now positively identified that this is the only get that was signed by these Edom that have the names of these people on it. At that point in time, we're not worried. So that's our Mishnah. Me'olam. Lo chasamnu ela get shel Yosef ben Shimon, yachim al ha-meimer. The Gemara says, okay, that's great. That's our Mishnah. Now, at that point in time, there's no longer a chiddush. I asked the Edom, they just told us. This is the only get that we signed on that had these names. And now go ahead and return it to her. Well, of course. What else are you going to do? So the Gemara says, ma'u detem alechus namais ramashem kishma ve'edim ke'edim kamash malan. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what the chiddush is. The chiddush is that, look, you know, coincidence is a funny thing. And you know what may have happened? Oh, I know this is really out there. But what may have happened is not only is there another get out there that happens to have the same names of husband and wife, but also happen to have the same names of these Edom. Okay. Now, again, by the way, I don't have the statistics to back me up over here, but what's the chance of that happening? It's really small. But maybe, the Gemara says, I might have entertained the idea that that's something to be concerned about. That's the Hava. I mean, the Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is, no, don't worry about that.
It's only according to Rav Meir, but not...
Whatever. The Gemara just basically said it's too out there. It's too far out there. Okay, number three. This is going to be our third approach. Rav Ashi Amar, Kegon dekamar nekev yeshbo betzados ponies. We're in our mission. We're returning the get back to its owner. We're returning the get to the woman. So, under what circumstances are we returning the get to the woman? Says Rav Ashi, where we have identified the get. How do we identify the get? There's a hole in the get. In other words, the actual paper has a hole in it, and betzados pony. And not only that, but the hole is. And he tells him exactly where the hole is in the get. Okay, it happens to be I've been present at many a get. So the head of the Beis Din here in South Florida is a friend of mine and my neighbor, and so I'm present at numerous gittin. So the practice is that whenever a get is being delivered, so holes are placed on the get in order so that when the get now is actually gotten to its point of destination. So the holes now are going to be identifying markers in terms of knowing that this get is the same get that was sent. Okay? It's what's called in halacha a siman. And not only is it a siman, by the way, but it's a siman muvak. It is a telltale sign. Because not only did I just simply say that there's a hole in the get, anyone could do that, but to tell you exactly where the hole is next to which letter it is, so that's what's called a siman muvak. So the, and the Gemara points out, so kagon de ka'amar nekev yeshbo b'tzados ponis. So v'dafka b'tzados ponis aval nekev amalo. Rav Ashi mesafkalei v'simani midaraisi derabanan. So the Gemara says, now just to identify that, yeah, this might get, how do I know that? Because there's a hole. But you don't say where the hole is, so that's a simon. But that's a generic simon. Now, does a generic simon a proper identification of ownership? That is a machlokus, which we're going to see together shortly enough. Right? The Gemara later on in Bab Mitzion Chav Zayin. So all you need to do is come back in a week. Okay? Don't just come back in a week, by the way. Come back tomorrow, but you understand. In other words, on Chav Zayin, we're going to go over together Simanim. And this topic of Simanim, generic Simanim. Is that, can that positively identify that as mine? Minatora midarabanan, machlokas. It's a machlokas. And so over here, however, we're not just talking about, and everything I'm saying over here is Rashi. I'm just speaking out Rashi. We're not just simply talking about returning a lost item. That in of itself, let's say simanim or derabanan. Would I return a lost item back to its owner if simanim or derabanan? Sure, sure. Rashi writes right here in our sugya. In other words, we're talking about a mamonous issue, and even if rabbinically it's mine, the rabbis have the power to go ahead and take an item and make it mine. In other words, hefker based in hefker. So if simanim or deraisa derabanan, when it comes to just mamonos, it really doesn't matter. However, over here, we're talking about recovering and returning a get to a woman so that she can remarry. This is no longer just a mamonos issue. This is now Eishes Ish being mater and Eishes Ish. This is an Issur D'oraisa of Arayos. So over here, the only way that we're going to properly return it to the woman so that she can remarry is only if we know with certainty that this get actually belongs to her. So if we're talking about a Simon Muvak, everyone agrees that's a Simon Minatora. And that for sure will establish that belongs to her. But if we're talking about just simply a hole, it's generic. So is that's a sim, that is a simon for sure. But is that positively proof that it belongs to her? Some say yes, some say no. Even the no is still midrabbanan would belong to her. But that's only from a monetary standpoint. But that wouldn't allow her to go ahead and get remarried. That's why specifically we're looking at a simon mavak. Good. That is approach number three. Rava Baba Rechana. Now, just a quick story as we turn to the topic of Yud Tesamad Aleph. So, Irkus, I get the Beim Drasha. Amar Isimana Isle Begave, Itvias Eine Isle Begave. So the Ahajua Nihale. So the do we have a simon? In other words, is there any marker that would identify ownership? Is there Tvias Ayin? Tvias Ayin just simply means basic recognition, right? Tvias Ayin, right? Rashi points out over here, and it's really the best way to say it. And that is, what is Tvias Ayin? Basic recognition. I look at somebody and I'm like, oh, I know who that is. Right? Can you explain how you know who it is? Yeah. He's got two eyes. He's got a nose. And he's got a mouth with two lips. Oh, and by the way, ears on both sides of his head. Okay, that's great. So I've described every human being on this world, more or less. But in other words, how do you know it's him? Well, what do you mean, how do I know it's him? I'm looking at him right now. So in other words, this idea of general recognition is this idea that we all are familiar with, and that is that I look at somebody's face and I could just simply easily identify who it is, even though when left to describe, well, how do you know? You give this very unsatisfying explanation of, well, but in other words, but that's Tfiyas Ayin, meaning I know. In other words, the subtle differences that exist between each person's face allows me to tell you, I know who it is. So even if we're not talking about faces, even if we're talking about items, but in other words, I'm so familiar with my item, I have what's called Tfiyas Ayin. So I lost a get. So do you have a simon? Do you have Tfiyas Ayin? So Ahadru and Yaleh, they returned it. So I'm Aleh, then Yimishim Siman Ahadru and Yaleh, because every Siman Im Darai, so Yimishim Tfiyas Ayin Ahadru and Yaleh. So now, they returned the item. They returned the item based on what? I'm saying, I keep calling it the item, by the way. It's not just an item, it's a get. They returned the get. So they returned it based on what? So number one, it could have been a simon. Yeah, but that brings us now to the murky topic of or simon a derais or derabanan. It wasn't a simon muvak. It was just a stam simon. So if it was stam a simon, so maybe they returned it based on the simon. And if they did, that means that they held that simon is deraisa. Alternatively, they returned it because of tfiyas ayin. Tfiyas ayin is basic recognition. Meaning, look, I spent a lot of time with this get. I'm telling you it's my get. I'm telling you. Now the Gemara says, now Tfiyas Ayin is an interesting topic. As the Gemara immediately points out, Dafka Tzurba Midrabana Vanisha Amalo. You see, the only one who can claim an item using this method of Tfiyas Ayin is only Talmid Chachamim. Talmid Chachamim are the only ones that could do so, everyone else cannot. Okay. That's a really interesting idea. Why should that be? Why should it be that only Talmid Chachamim can claim an item back using the principle of Tfiyas Ayin? So why? Because if you're not a Talmud Chacham, you don't have this recognition, this ability to recognize. That doesn't seem to be true, right? Everybody can go ahead and recognize faces, meaning regardless of whether they're Talmud Chacham or not a Talmud Chacham. So what does that mean? So presumably what it means, Rashi doesn't say it over here. Yes, Rashi does say it over here. I take it back, okay, immediately. So Rashi writes over here, it's not an issue of recognition. Now it becomes an issue of trust. Meaning because Tfiyas Ayin, it's not an objective simon. In other words, an objective simon is there's a hole in the piece of paper. And if I could tell you exactly where the hole is, that's simon muvuk. Oh. But in other words, but that's something that is easily identifiable and I could describe it. Somebody's face, that's not easily describable. I can't easily identify it. Oh. And so over here now we're with Tfiyas Ayin. Right, so how do I know that that's him? Or in this particular case, how do I know that that's my get? What do you mean? I recognize it. Clearly, I recognize it. So even though there's something called recognition and everyone has recognition, now it becomes an issue of trust. And that's why the Gemara says, that's why we're going to limit Tfiyas Ayin as being a legitimate way of recovering an item, but only for Talmid Chachamim, because Talmid Chachamim lo mishani dibura. That's Rashi right over here. In other words, they're not going to lie. They're extended that kind of credibility. Okay. All right. So can you pick up a get? Can you return it back to her? So we have had now between yesterday's daf and today's daf, 1, 2, 3 different approaches in terms of whether or not you can return the get back to her. The husband says, "Yeah, the get was written. The get was issued. Can we return it back to her?" So according to Rabba, let's just quickly recap and go over all three because we're moving on now. Almost. We're going to stay on the get topic for just another minute. But in other words, so approach number one, and that is that, yeah, you can go ahead and return it. The Mishnah above Metzias that says, the Mishnah Gittin, Chav Zion, that says that you can't return it. So that's talking about where there's a lot of people, and we know that happens to be a couple share the same name. And so then I'm worried that maybe this get belongs to another couple. Okay. But other than that, otherwise, you can go ahead and you can return it. That is approach number one. Approach number two, we're going to credit to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Approach number two is that we interviewed the witnesses, and they said that we signed only on one get that has this name of that husband and that wife. Okay, that's approach number two. And finally, approach number three, and which is what we just went over, and that is the approach of Rav Ashi. And that is that there's a simon on the get. And now, with positive identification of the get using a simon, so we returned it back to the wife. Now, it happens to be that Rav Ashi didn't want to get embroiled in the debate of whether simonim or deraisa or derabanan, so we're talking about a simon muvak. But in other words, the returning is based on a simon. Those are the three different approaches. We continue. Gufa matzaket isha b'shuk. Bizman shabamo de yachzor liisha. Ein abamo de lo yachzor lo lezeh v'lo lezeh. Okay, so in the brisa we found a get. This brisa we did yesterday. We're revisiting the brisa. Obviously, the Gemara wants to probe. And so the Brisa tells us that we found a get, and we asked the husband, what's the story? And he's like, the husband's like, yeah, I wrote the get, I gave it to her. That's my ex-wife's get. So then you return it. If, on the other hand, the husband's not modest, then you don't return it. Now, the Gemara goes in and starts probing. Bizman shabba modemia yachzor liisha v'lech shem akasav liten benisan v'lo nasan ad tishrei v'azabal Zavin peros minisam v'atishrei umafkel gita dekasa benisam v'askel mitzvah shlokedin. So the Gemara says like this: we know that husband and wife, while they are married, so the husband is entitled to all the peros. One of the tekanas of the ksuva, one of the financial benefits for the husband of being married is that when the woman comes in with property, so all peros, literally the fruit of the property. But when we learn ksuvas, we know that it's not just the fruit of her property. In other words, it's basically usages of anything she owns, so that could be enjoyed by the husband. The husband gets the dividends of all the assets of his wife while they're married. That's peros. Okay, remember the quid pro quo that we talked about back in Ksuvos? In other words, financial benefits that go to the husband because of all the financial obligations that the husband has to the wife. Good. So the financial exchanges that are made between husband and wife, all legislated by the Chachamim. We did this all in detail back in Ksuvos. Good. So now the peros go to the husband. It's fine. So while they're married, obviously when the marriage terminates, so not only does she take back her assets or her properties, but obviously he's no longer entitled to the peros. In other words, they're no longer married. Okay, pasha. Now, what should be the concern? The concern should be the following. Once again, we're talking about the drafting of the get and the actual giving of the get. The get's going to be drafted, I don't know, could be in the month of Nisan. The get is only delivered in Tishrei. Okay. And granted, by the way, that's a long period of time, but let's get to the point. And the point now is the following, is that now when you have a 6-month lag between the drafting of the get and the giving of the get, so now what's going to happen is that the husband is going to be taking the peros in that 6-month period of time, and is he rightfully entitled to those peros? Sure. They're not divorced. In other words, the divorce only is effected when he gives her the get. So in other words, he's entitled to those peros. Okay, fine. So now he collects those peros and he sells them and, okay. And now what's going to happen is that the woman, after the divorce, is going to go back to the lekuchos. She's going to go to the buyers and say, I cannot believe what my ex-husband did. Okay. And then, right, she'll have some choice words about him as well. But in other words, I can't believe what he did. He sold my peros. The buyer's like, well, what do you mean your peros? She takes out the get and she shows the date on the get. And the date now is going to reflect that the get occurred 6 months earlier. But of course, it's not true. In other words, it was drafted on that date, but it wasn't given until 6 months later. And the Gemara now wants to know, why are we worried about that 6-month lag where what she's going to do later, at a later point in time, she's going to go to the lekuchos and illegally confiscate the peros from all the buyers. And again, we get to say this, and that is, aren't the rabbis worried about buyer protection? Protecting the buyers? Hanich l'man d'amar kevin shenasem einav l'garsha shuv einav al peros shapir. Now, when does a husband lose his peros? So you heard me confidently say just minutes earlier when the get is actually issued. The Gemara now points out, don't say it with confidence. In other words, it's a machlokas. It's a machlokas exactly when his peros rights terminate. There is an opinion out there that says that the moment that he's thinking to divorce her. Now, I know that's kind of hard to ascertain in terms of when he's thinking to divorce her, but we could say in the very least that when you drafted the get document, we have a good idea right now that he's thinking of divorcing her. We can comfortably say that. So there is an opinion out there that from the moment that the get is drafted, he no longer is entitled to peros. If we're taking that position, then actually we're fine because she's now going to come back to the buyers. She's going to say, give me back my peros. She's right. They're hers. Elaman dama yesh lebaal peros achas nesina maikel amemar. But if the position is that he is entitled to peros until he actually gives her the get, now we have to worry because again he's going to be collecting those peros he's entitled to, and even though the get was drafted 6 months earlier, He still is entitled to collect payros all those 6 months because the get wasn't actually given. And now what she's going to do is that she's going to come back after the get was given to her. She's going to go to the lekuchos and she's going to collect illegally all those payros. She's going to claim it belongs to her. So why are we worried about that? So the Gemara says, Ki asya lemitra famin Allah, he said, right, Amos mata gita liyadach. So the Gemara says, do you know why we're not worried about that? I'll tell you why. Because when she hands the get, when she puts the get right in the face of the buyers, and she says, hey, look at this. So they're going to look at her and they're going to say, okay, I see. Prove it. Prove it. Meaning, I'm looking at the date of the get. I get you. But in other words, that's when the get was drafted. And you mean to tell me that you got the get on that very same day? Just bring me some proof. Right? The witnesses saw, in other words, they're aiding Masira. Witnesses actually saw the get being, you have to prove it to me. I'm not going to give up what I bought unless you actually prove it to me. Huh? The Gemara says, really? Really? So somebody comes at you with a document and the document's got a note on it and you can't collect and you have to prove it? The Gemara says, that's so interesting. And remember, we talked about a standard note where it was lost and recovered, and what we discussed now for over a week. Such a big sugya here in Bava Metzia. We started in Yud Beis, and it pretty much ended yesterday. So for over a week, we talked about how basically don't hand the note back. Why? Because there's a date on it, and the date may be fictitious, and there may be a fictitious lien. So don't hand it back. Okay, effectively, we said that for about a week. Good. Now the Gemara, to which the Gemara basically says, okay, now I don't understand. What, you know what we just learned together? Even as I wave the note in front of the buyer, he still can fold his arms and say, prove it. We just learned that together. And so why don't we say the same thing with the note? Return the note back to the lender. The lender may go ahead and exercise a lien that may not be there. He's not going to. Because when he flashes that paper in front of the buyer now will look at him and say, great. Looks like a great note. It's not enough proof. So the Gemara says, there's a huge difference between a get and a note. Amri. The difference is as follows. We'll start with the get, and then afterwards I'll read regarding the shtar chov. Let's start with the get. When it comes to a get, there's a lot of motivation. There's a lot of incentive for Beis Din to give her the get. Because if she doesn't have the get in her hand, she'll be an aguna. Locked and stuck in that position forever. And the Chachamim were unbelievably sensitive to that. We all know, right? We've gone through not just Dapim, but Prakim of Shas that talk about the Chachamim's care and concern that a woman doesn't become an aguna. Sometimes she does. But in other words, but the Chachamim really endeavored. This is something they lost sleep over and legislated so that a woman doesn't become an aguna. So over here, you have a get that's lost, and now the recovery of the get, and should we give it back to her? So the Chachamim are so motivated to give her the get. And because of that now, when she flashes that get in front of a buyer saying, hey, I'm entitled to it, now the buyer can say to her, I know what's happening over here. Because the Chachamim were so motivated to give you back the get, you have to prove to me now that the get really is, the get's legitimate, by the way. That's not what we're challenging. But the date on the get really reflects the date that the get was issued. Meaning, I know that the Chachamim were so motivated to give you the get, you have to prove to me that you really are entitled to take this away from me. That's by a get. But when it comes to a shtar chov, we don't have that. But hachi gabi shtar chov lo asiv etava. So mehadru ani alei rabban lo shtar chov. In other words, if we have a lost sharchov and now we're going to be rewarding it and awarding it back to the malveh, we're doing so for only one reason, and that is so he can collect. So if we are now going to be recovering and awarding the sharchov back to the malveh, It's only for one reason. And in fact, the fact that we're even giving it back to the Malva is even proof that it is a valid shtar chov and he's entitled to go ahead and to collect with it. So in other words, there's no ulterior motivation to go ahead and to give the shtar chov back to the Malva, unlike the get, where the chachamim were super motivated to give it back to her so she can get remarried and she won't be an aguna. Okay. Beautiful. Yitzhak Samad Aleph, now we are moving along. Shechur Avadim. Okay, you lost a Shechur Eved, and now you find it, and should I return it? So an Eved Kanani is going to go free under the circumstances where the owner writes him a get, a letter of emancipation, right? Get Shechur. And so that get Shechur is going to be the instrument in which he becomes free, and on top of that, also the proof, so that if anyone asks him, hey, aren't you an Eved? He's like, no, I'm free. And as we all know, we did the Gemara thing getting together at length, and that is that when an Eved Kanani goes free, now becomes a full-fledged Jew. Okay. But right now, our focus over here in our sugya is just simply returning the lost get shechur over to the Eved Kanani. Now, what do we say in our Mishnah? Don't do it. Why not? Because again, our concern is that maybe it was a drafted letter, but maybe it was never given. So shechur avadim v'chuletan rabbanu matzah shach shechur b'shuk b'zman sharav moda. Okay, the Braisa says that if you found a lost get shechur and you go to the owner and you say, could you give me a story over here? And the owner says, yeah, I freed my Eved Kanani. Give it back to him. So then you do. If he denies having done so, so then don't give it back to either one of them. So now the Gemara discusses. Litin lo benisan, velo nasan lo ad tishrei, ve azo avda, ve kana nixin, nisan ad tishrei, azo harav is avninu, umafik le lashichror, de kasa benisan, ve katarv lakucho shlo kedin. And again, the Gemara now, for another time, is worried about this lag, right? The delay between the drafting of the get shichror and the giving of the get shichror. Meaning, the master said that he gave the get shichror to his Eved Kanani. So we know that occurred. But what we don't know, even still, is whether or not it was drafted and given on the same day, or maybe there was a delay between the drafting and the giving. In fact, it could be a six-month delay. Could be more. I know we always operate with a six-month delay, but it could be a six-month delay. And if, in fact, that's the case. So here's now the problem, and that while he was an Eved, so the... So while he was an Eved, what could have happened is that he could have sold property or could have purchased property. So now what the Rav does is that the Rav is going to go ahead and in that 6 month window, the Rav is going to assume, well, maybe not assume, but whatever. The Rav will sell them off as his own properties. Why? Because Masha kana Eved kana Rabbo. When the Eved makes a kinyan, it goes directly to the Rav. And now what's going to happen is the umafik leila shichur. Now what's going to happen is that well after now the get shichur was handed over to the Eved Kanani, Eved Kanani is going to go over to the buyers of whatever was sold by his ex-owner and say to the buyers, that's so funny. Where did you buy that from? You bought that from my ex-owner? Oh, that's so funny. He had no right to sell it to you. Look at the get shichur. And look carefully at the date of the get shichur. It goes all the way back. It precedes the time that you actually purchased it. He had no right to sell it to you. You're going to give it to me. And with that shtar shichur, he's going to collect. And now we're saying it together. Illegally and illicitly, he's going to collect items from buyers. And again, we want to protect the buyers. So hani chalaman damar, zechusu levish yosim etachas rabba lecheros. Uke abaye da amar eda bechasum of zachen le shapir. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. If we subscribe to the idea that an Eved Kanani going free is zchus lo, it's a benefit to him. Now, freedom, of course, is a zchus. Meaning, how could you argue otherwise? So if you've been around in the daf long enough, you know you could argue otherwise. There's another side to that. In other words, because with freedom, of course, comes responsibility. And also with freedom comes also more isurim. It's not a full zchus for an Eved Kanani to go free. But If you're just looking at it, that it's absolute schus and pure schus, we know the rule is zachon l'adam shelo b'fanav. And so therefore, when the owner writes the get shichur for his evek hanani, and also couple that with that the shita of Abaye. Remember Abaye on Daf Yud Gimel? That was a week ago here in the Daf. Abaye says that Edom HaChasumim are going to create the Kinyan. So in other words, you have to assume that freedom of the Eved is a Zchus. And you have to hold like Abaye that Edom is creating the Kinyan. So when the owner wrote the Get Shichur, so then does he go free immediately? Immediately upon writing. I should add, writing and signing. So then he goes free. So now it comes out that on the day that it was drafted and signed is the day that the Eved goes free. He was only given the Get Shichur 6 months later. Yeah, he's been freed for the last 6 months. Okay. So then if that's true, then don't worry about the Lekuchos. The Lekuchos don't need to be protected because anything that the owner did in fact sell in that 6 month period did not belong to the owner. Actually belong to the Eved. Okay, great. So then shop here. So then there's nothing to worry about. But Elaman Damer Chovu Levish Yosef Mitachas Yad Rabba Lecheros Michael Amemar. But if the freeing of an Eved Kanani is not just Chos, it's Chos and Chov. So we know now the rule is that Ein Chav La Adam Ella B'Fanav. So just simply because the owner wrote the Get Shechur and even though he signed it, he has not effected the Cheros. Cheros only will be affected when it's given over to the Eved Kanani, which is only 6 months later. Now we have to worry about protecting the buyers. So the Gemara says, "Dichias lemitra famin lei." I see raya emas mata shechur liadcha. So the Gemara says, "Okay, I hear you. I'm still not worried. Why? Because all buyers will say to the Eved Kanani, Mazel tov on your freedom, right? I congratulate you. I wish you well in life. But you're trying to take something away from me that I bought from your ex-owner, and you're saying that the date on your get shechur predates the time that I purchased it. I need more proof than that." And you can do, like we said regarding the woman, you could fold your arms and you could say, that is not enough proof. I need more proof. Good. And again, by the way, the Gemara doesn't go through it, but we could also just hash out, well, why don't we say the same thing by a regular shtar chov? And the Gemara can answer, once again, that it's not the, in other words, the shtar chov, if I'm returning it to the owner, it's for one reason only for collection. That's not true over here. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. We're almost done. Ezui Daidiki. We're on the bottom of Yud Tesamad Aleph, and we are continuing in our Mishnah of lost documents that I don't return. So I don't return a get. Again, by the way, we do, under certain circumstances, you do. But in other words, our Mishnah, just to say simple pshat in our Mishnah, don't return a get. Don't return a get shichur. Okay? Again, under certain circumstances, you do, but our Mishnah said don't. And don't return a daidiki, and don't return a shtar matana. Okay, so now we get to ask the simple question. A what? Don't return a what? A daidiki. You know, everyone here knows.
Whatchamacallit.
Yeah, correct. So Tanu Rabbanan Ezui daidiki. So the Gemara says, okay, could you please explain what that is? Yeah, sure. So Data Hela Mekam Belios. She imes nechas of Laponi. We're talking about Shchimera. So Rachman is a person is dying, and a person is dying, and now he is allocating. And he's gifting. But in other words, because of the context, we know that this is what's called conditional giving. We know it. Meaning if, let's say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that, you know what, we need an ace over here, he's going to make a miraculous recovery. If he does so, all gifts that he gave are going to come back to him. Because there was a built-in condition. I'm only giving it away because I'm dying. But if I don't die, in other words, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that, you know, I need another 15 more years here on this earth, okay, so everything goes back. And that's what's called the daidiki. It's matna shchemira. And what's a matana? Kosha kasabo me'ayom alach hamisa. And a matana is where I give it. Now, the Gemara has a strange statement over here. Me'ayom alach hamisa. I'm giving it now and I'm giving it after I die. Gemara immediately jumps on that. What? What? Alma. Meaning, why can't it just simply be a simple gift? Why did you make it complicated from today and when I have to, after I die? So Amar Abai Hachi Kamar. So Abai says, no, you misunderstood. alachamisa, kol shekasu bo meyam alachamisa. Oh, okay, good. So in other words, we're not looking at a standard matana. Standard matana, I'm gifting you something, mazel tov, it's yours. But we're not looking for that over here. What our Mishnah is doing is our Mishnah is going over a daidiki and a daidiki equivalent. A matana that looks like a daidiki. A daidiki, again, the person is deathly ill. He's a man, he's a shchimera. And therefore, his gifting falls under the category of mana shchimera. And then there's something similar to that, and that's what's called a matana that just looks exactly like that. In other words, the person's healthy, but the person says, here's the story. And that is I'm going to give it to you, and it will be yours when I die. What does that look like? What it looks like is the following. In other words, I'm going to retain title of the item until my death. But what I'm telling you right now is that you can enjoy it. So in other words, a house, a car, a boat, don't matter. And that is that when I'm gifting it to you, I'm saying to you as follows. Until I die, title's still under my name. Oh, but you can go ahead and you can enjoy it and benefit from it and you can use it until I die. And then when I die, title belongs to you. Now, that is a matana that operates just like a mana shchemera. Okay, operates in the same manner. It just happens to be that the person's healthy. Okay, so Amai is a iksiva me'ayom alachem izu dekani v'ilo lo kani. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Again, I lost my spot. I'm sorry. So, kol shekasu bo miyam lachemisa. So, taima delo amar tenu. Ha amar tenu, nosnin. Okay. And now we get to do this a second time. We did it yesterday's daf, and now we're going to do it again in today's daf. Now, you'll notice in the Mishnah, it's a very simple diuk. And that is that in our Mishnah, what just happened, I'm not going to return it. Why? Because it may have been drafted but not given. But let's say we know it was given. How do I know that? I'm asking the guy. Right, we found a lost Eidiki. We found a lost Shtar Matana in the street. What happened? And the gifter said, "Oh, that was me." In other words, I gifted it. So if he says that, we're going to take the document and we're going to hand it to the recipient. It's really that simple. Urimenu, the Gemara says, "Okay, it's really that simple." But meanwhile, I'm going to show you a brisa matzah daidikios. Wow, did I struggle with that one? Anyway, the Eidiki in plural. And apotikios and matanos. Alpha pishishne modem. Lo yachzer lo lezeh v'lo lezeh. So I find all these documentations, right? The documents of giftings, right? Shchimera giftings, regular giftings, apotikis. Apotikis are liens, but liens where I'm specifying exactly which property it is. So in any of those cases, even though both parties agree, you do not go ahead and you do not return it. Lo lezeh v'lo lezeh. So where are we right now stuck between a Mishnah and a Braisa? Our Mishnah says that as long as we know that it wasn't just drafted, but it was drafted and given, and now it was lost and recovered, what do? I return it back to the recipient. Meanwhile, the Braisa says, don't return it. It's called being stuck. We have a stira. So Amar Rabbi Abba Ramama Lokasha, Ha Bebari Ha Vishchemira. So the Gemara says we're going to make the following distinction, and that is between a Bari and a Shchemira, between somebody healthy and somebody sick. And now what the Gemara is going to do is Gemara is going to spell out the distinction. Okay, now, we are going to have one of the longest run-on sentences in the Gemara. This sentence is going to take us through half the Amud. Okay, what's it called? Is the Gemara sometimes guilty of run-on sentences? Sometimes. But the sentence over here that we're about to read is so long and so verbose that he quotes over here the Ritva. And the Ritva says that this was an amendment to the Gemara. Okay, in other words, this is not the original Gemara itself. The original Gemara ended with the words, Habibari Havishchemera. And then the Gemara expects us to understand, oh yeah, you understand the difference, right? And so what a Gaon did, right, between the period of the Gemara and the Rishonim, that was 500 years approximately, Gemara was finally edited and finished in the 5th century, towards the end of the 5th century. And then the Rishonim commenting on the Gemara was starting in about the year 1000. That's 500 years. And that 500-year period, that's the period of the Gaonim. And what did the Gaonim do? It's very simple. They continued the Masara. They passed the Gemara down from generation to generation. And they taught the Gemara. So, but little did they do in terms of editing the Gemara, and they certainly didn't write any explanation of the Gemara. Finally, when you get to the period of the Rishonim, in other words, people needed a written explanation of the Gemara, hence Rashi. right? That was a crash course history of Gemara. So anyway, but on occasion, like right here in our Gemara, right over here, so a Gaon, Rav Yehuda Gaon, wrote an explanation, and for us, it became incorporated in the Gemara itself. So we're reading it as Gemara, but most probably the Ritva writes, this is just a perush of Rav Yehuda Gaon on the Gemara's answer. Okay, that was a lot. And it's 8 o'clock. So let's pause right here. Tomorrow we're going to read the explanation of what's the distinction.